Hey guys, it's Christine. My one-woman show, Surviving the Ride, has been accepted into the White Fire Theater Solo Festival. It's one night only, Saturday, February 16th, at the fantastic White Fire Theater in Sherman Oaks, California. If you're in LA, guys, I really want to see you there. Head over to ChristineBlackburn.com for tickets and stick around after the show for a small reception. I hope you guys can make it. Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. And guess what? It's my birthday. And today, comedy writer Blaine Kapach shares this birthday with me and tells his story about prostate cancer.
My doctor, my regular guy, very astute, just said, hey, your numbers are a little up. I want you to go to this guy and this specialist over at Cedars and get looked at. Your numbers are a little up. They jam needles up through your into your prostate through your intestinal wall, which was fantastic.
Today on the show, comedy writer Blaine Kapach shares his survival story about prostate cancer. You gotta get checked out there, guys. Stay close.
Hi, it's Blaine Kapach. You're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. And I hope you guys had a chance to listen to last week's episode with comedian and actor Jason Horton. Do you know Jason Horton, Blaine?
I know the name.
He's like a YouTube star guy, like big time.
Okay.
He just has the incredible YouTube channel, and he's clever and always putting out content, and he actually has a new podcast out called Ghost Town, and last week he came on Storyworthy and talked about My Haunted House. And guess what? Grew up in a haunted house.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean,
oh,
it was
good.
Great.
For a minute there, I thought you said My Haunted House. I was like, is this place haunted? And my shoes run out the door.
Yeah, right. Pew! All right, you guys, so go back and listen to Jason Horton, but not today, because today I'm here with comedy writer Blaine Kapach, who I've had on the show before, but it was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And today Blaine brings forth the topic, my prostate cancer. So
you have prostate cancer?
That's pretty clear.
Wow,
man.
And your place is haunted. This is a horrible day for you.
It's a party all the time. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm a cancer survivor. You know that, right?
Tell me about your cancer.
Isn't that funny how, well, now everybody's had cancer or been touched by it. So, like, it's like my first car.
It really is. It's like cancer is the new first car.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it's not anything, you know. But what I do find interesting is at least the cancer I had, which was called an adult Wilms tumor, and it was in my kidney.
Mm.
And that's where they go. And, yeah. That is something you can't test for. Like, there, first of all, it was such a rare disease. Like, only 27 people were ever diagnosed with it.
And lucky you.
And 14 died. Yeah, I'm special. I'm very special. You just don't even know. But truly, that is a type of cancer that was so rare and so bizarre. There's no testing for it. So I'm anxious to hear about your prostate cancer, because I do know that that's very testable, as it were.
It is.
And all of my men friends. You know, my men.
Yeah.
Your men's.
All my men's.
All of my male friends, I encourage them all the time. Hey, have you had your prostate tested? Have you done that yet? Do that. Just do that. Because I know that it can be deadly, obviously, if not. Mm-hmm. And one of my heroes, Dan Fogelberg, passed away of that at only 57 years old.
Yeah, that's pretty young.
And it was completely preventable. So it's just, you know, I think there's, you know, there's the good cancer, the bad cancer. And when
it's like cholesterol. I have the good cancer going.
It's so, you know, it's just so common now. And I just want everybody to do what they can to prevent it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Stay ahead of it and on top of it.
I think that's the only way we have. Now, if you get diagnosed, or me, get diagnosed with a brain tumor tomorrow or whatever, okay. You know, it was a good ride, but at least the ones I can prevent, like getting my mammograms and getting all those things. Do you get your mammogram plan?
I'm due for one, I think, in April.
Listen, man, if there's anybody to talk about cancer with, it's you, because you're motherfucking funny. You guys, blink a patch. You are just so damn good on Twitter. I can't even tell you.
Oh, thank you.
Now, you know I got kicked off Twitter. I mentioned
I heard.
To you. Just for general.
I got banned by Mike Huckabee, but that's about it.
That's a badge of honor, my friend. I was banned for 10 hours. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to be sleeping 8 of them anyway.
That's 70 in online dog hours.
I'm telling you. Hey, listen, I want to show you something. I recently got these new glasses. You see them? Aren't they pretty?
I do.
They're really great. They're from Warby Parker. Have you heard of Warby Parker?
I have heard of Warby Parker.
Here's the thing with Warby Parker. It's like a game changer. It really is. It's almost like now how you take a Lyft or an Uber. You don't take a cab anymore, do you? No. Well, you shouldn't be making your eyewear complicated. And Warby Parker, here's what they do. They make buying glasses online easy and risk-free. What? Yes, they do. And they have this home try-on program that allows you to order 5 pair of glasses directly to your door. But here's the thing. It's not just 5 pair of glasses. Like, you go on their app and they like do this face recognition where, you know, you describe the size face you have, etc. And then they say, these are the glasses that are going to look good on you. And they'll give you a choice, like try one of these. And you know what? They're like spot on.
Like a pattern algorithm.
As it were. So they'll send you these 5 pair of glasses and you can try them on in the comfort of your own home. You can get feedback. You know what I'm saying? Your friends, your family, the mailman. How do I look in these? What do you think? Like that. And everybody's opinion, you know, that you care about. And then you can try the frames for 5 days before sending them back. You use a free prepaid return shipping label with absolutely no obligation to purchase. It's 100% free. Blaine, I got to tell you, getting new glasses shouldn't be like getting an iPhone. You know what I mean? Or buying something complicated and expensive. It should be easy and affordable. And for every pair of glasses that's sold, Warby Parker, they distribute a pair of glasses to somebody in need. I like that.
I like that too.
I like that.
That's good.
So head over to warbyparker.com/storyworthy to order your free home try-ons today. You guys, warbyparker.com/storyworthy to order your free home try-ons today. And if nothing else, you will make your child laugh as you try on glasses. My daughter loved it.
How many did you try on? Did you do
just
like a montage?
Five. I did.
Coming out of the bathroom. How are these? Boop, boop, boop. Manhattan Transfer plan.
I ordered 4, like they recommended, and then I ordered one kind of like a cat eye, like my grandmother would have worn 1,000 years ago. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I'm always surprised at how things look on me for real and how they look on me in my imagination. So yeah, these will look great on me. And then you look, whoa!
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of choices now in, you know, listen to me, I sound so old, but in my day, we had the JCPenney catalog and you made some choices. That's it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, because of what they call the interweb, you know, everybody gets the same shit. So it's not like we were sitting in Pittsburgh and thinking, what are they doing in California? We're all doing the same thing.
We're all out in California. We're doing exactly what they're doing in Pittsburgh. As Pittsburgh goes, so does the nation, I think.
I've been playing tennis every day this week. That's not what's happening in Pittsburgh. I'll tell you that right now.
It's cold there, isn't it?
You know who my tennis partner is?
Who's your tennis partner?
Matt Oswalt.
Matt Oswalt!
Did you know that?
Wow, he's great on Twitter.
He's great on the tennis
court. Fantastic photographer, too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And he's a great tennis player. He kills me. Last week, we did a set, not last week, the week before, because he's been out of town. 6-0 killed me. And then 6-3. So there's 3 okay. games in my corner. You see what I mean?
All right.
You have to look at the bigger picture in tennis.
You need to pick it up because I have 12 grand on you.
Hey, listen, you guys, before we get to Blaine's story, I did want to remind you to head over to storyworthypodcast.com and just look at the page. That's all. I'm not saying anything else. Look at the page. And don't forget to tell your friends about Storyworthy, because that's really where we get numbers, Blaine Kapach. It's about sharing the information and showing somebody on their phone. Look, all you got to do is go to Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, all these different sources. And then when you get there, you subscribe, because these are the numbers that are important.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do that?
I would.
I like that. Thank you.
I like numbers. They got us to the moon. It got us to the moon.
All right, you guys. Blaine Kapach is here right now. He's a comedian and a writer who recently worked on 4 seasons, over 600 episodes of At Midnight.
Oh, yeah. All right.
They never liked my hashtags.
Oh, no.
The hashtag wars. And I am funny. You are funny. I mean, in my own way. I mean, I'm not like, you know, that funny, but I do have a je ne sais quoi.
Did you never win the hashtag wars?
I never won the hashtag wars. I barely even got liked, but I would sit there in bed at night and just, you know, my mind, you know, because
it's a speed bag.
It's a speed bag.
Yeah, it keeps you in shape.
But it's a motivating tool, right?
It's super fun.
It's super fun. I super enjoyed that show.
Yeah, we did hundreds of those. Hundreds of hashtags.
Super fun. And you've also worked on Mad TV and the Martin Short show. He's a hero of mine.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's the best. You know him then, obviously.
I do.
And tell me.
I don't want to throw it around too much. I throw it around a lot, but he's a genuine comedy genius. He was born to do it. He's more like Jiminy Glick than you would think he is. Jiminy Glick was just him in a fat suit so that he could be Martin Short
There's
to people.
There's nothing funnier than Jiminy Glick. He's so vicious and silly. He's so silly and didn't listen to anything the other person said. And just would just always, and then his physical comedy as Jiminy Glick, just falling over the coffee table and rolling around on, and he's laughing his
crossing
ass
his
off.
Legs too fast.
Yeah. Flip back and forth. That was brilliant. I super enjoyed that show.
He's so funny.
You also worked on Mind of Mencia and the Jamie
Kennedy
experience.
Sorry.
You.
No, I'm very proud of everything I've done.
Are a performer, and you have done stand up on more stages than I can mention, including on that game show, because, you know, I love game shows.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Geeks.
All right.
I would never have won that either, though. I have very little geekness in me.
I was surprised at how in depth it was.
Really?
One of the reasons I got hired was how I knew how to pronounce Oathica.
Wow. What is that town?
It's the egg sack of a cockroach.
God damn.
Or maybe not a cockroach, but maybe a some sort of insect.
You?
But I wanted to get sure. But it was Oathica, Oathica. But I caught the umlaut and, oh, okay, that's... Oh, okay, we're going to need that.
It was an umlaut, you say.
Yes.
Interesting. Did I mention, you guys, that Blaine is a genius on Twitter? Follow him over there, would you, at Blaine Kapatch. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Blaine Kapatch.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hey, I'm going to bum everybody out, but I'll make it okay in the beginning by saying I'm all right now, but I had cancer. I got diagnosed with prostate cancer when I was, I guess, 45, and... it was sort of a weird, not a shock, but not unexpected. I was 45, and I had lived a charmed life up until that point. You know what it's like, where I didn't get sick a lot. I would get, you know, I'd get the mumps or whatever, roseola, but the flu or bronchitis, but I never would get anything bad, never broke any bones, had any health scares or anything. But then all of a sudden, I had kidney stones, which was bad. I had a kidney stone that lodged up in one of my kidneys, and it didn't come down, so they had to go up through my wiener with a laser and zap that out. And the doctor left his watch up there and had to go back up later. It was really painful. But that was running concurrent when my doctor, who was just my regular guy, very astute, he just said, hey, your numbers are a little up. I want you to go to this guy and this specialist over at Cedars. And get looked at. Your numbers are a little up. So
what number is that?
Your PSA, which is just some sort of marker in your blood that lets them know that you have cancer. So those were a little elevated. I had a biopsy, which was the least pleasant thing I think I've ever had in my life, where they go up through my wiener. No, not my wiener. My butt wiener. And... they jam needles up through into your prostate through your intestinal wall, which was fantastic. And then I had two of those. The first one found cancer. And I got the call. It was very blasé. Hey, Blaine, doctor. Hey, it's your doctor. Yeah, it's cancer. Come in. We'll talk about what you're very young. He just kept saying that you're young. This is easily fixable. This is not going to affect your quality of life or your longevity. Just kept saying it over and over, reminding me that I was very lucky that I was young and I got it detected early. So if you're listening and you're, no matter how old you are, if you're an adult male, get checked. Don't be embarrassed about having a finger up your butt or any of that stuff. The guy's a professional. If he's going, oh yeah, get the pants down, then, you know, see if there's anybody else in your network. But for the most part, it's not going to be a problem. catch it early, because while this was happening, my wife's father was dying of prostate cancer that had spread to his bones. And this was a guy who was too old to get the operation, or chose to have, you know, some chemotherapy, some radiation. And at that point, you make a decision, I guess. He had made a decision to kind of keep it to himself and just sort of deal with it. And I watched my wife's father die, which was unpleasant. But it keeps you motivated if you have what he had. So I was like I said, up until this point, I wasn't really worried about my health. My parents were old, and my mother died before this happened, the year before any of this happened. That was about as bad as it got. My parents dying, my cats dying, everything else was fine. And then all of a sudden, I had kidney stones, dying father-in-law, cancer, no cats, which was a drag. That was a drag. I needed cats. We were also trying to get pregnant. So my wife and I managed to get pregnant. And when the wheels were up on the pregnancy and she was safely on her way, I had the operation. And that was, it was a doctor at USC. It was very, very nice. USC could not have handled it better. It was, they used me as a test. My operation was apparently broadcast in Poland and Europe. That was nice. That was a, because the guy that operated on me is like the Sting of prostate cancer surgeons. So yeah, a couple of lute solos, a little tantric sex, everything was, he's ready to go. Anyway, I had this operation I came to, and I think the worst part was they gave me a Vicodin, which I loved. They gave me a jar of Vicodin like a thermos. And I would take them two at a time. And they were great. I used to, my friend Ted and I, we were writers on Mind of Mencia, and on tape nights, we would both chew one up and just be perfect for watching a Mind of Mencia taping. But here I am, I have a catheter that didn't go in my wiener. They drilled it through the front of my abdomen directly into my bladder, and I had a pee bag strapped to my leg like Han Solo. I had that for a week. And my bladder would go into spasms, and I wouldn't be able to empty it. Wow. And I would be lying on the floor and just white and in pain. It was fantastic. Because I'm not really built for speed in the first place. I don't have a very high constitution if I was a D&D character. So this was all hurting me very, very bad. But my wife and my friends, everybody was very, very supportive. It was more of an emotional drag and the pee thing, and then the thinking about having cancer the whole time. But they had gone in with a robot, taken my prostate out, checked everything out. It had been all captured in the prostate, didn't make it out. I was very, very fortunate and very lucky. The recovery was weird for me because they would... everything was stunned. All my nerves were stunned. So it took a while for sensation and activity, were, as we would say, I guess, to come back. If I was older, and this is, again, this goes back to staying on top of it and getting checked. If I was older, I would have a problem with continence, and I would have a problem with erectile function and stuff. But as it is now, I went without getting boners for a couple of months, and it fucked with my head so bad, because it's something you normally have and it's something you don't really think about. But all of a sudden it was gone, and there's all sorts of thoughts that you have that you don't want to think about when you can't get an erection. But they started coming back, which was nice. In a couple of months, I was like, whoa, come on, like looking at my watch, where are they? But then they would start coming back at night. I would get like a deer in my yard. Like, oh, look. Oh my God, there's one. Honey, honey, there's one. She goes, oh my God, look at it. Don't scare it, don't scare it, don't scare it. Don't get close to it. I'm going to take a picture. Don't take a picture. The flash would go off. My boner would run over the fence and drown in my neighbor's pool. If I had a dime for every erection that has drowned in my neighbor's pool, Christine. So, The other thing that was weird while I was recovering was before the operation, they said, do Kegels with your, you know, tighten up your butt muscles. It'll help your continence because I've only got one valve now keeping all my pee in. So, and the they also said, oh, your testicles are going to swell up a little bit. So just when that happens, just put some ice on them for 20 minutes, then flip the ice over and ice them for another 20 minutes. I'm like, okay, fine. So like that week I'm on the couch with my wife. I can't move too much. I have the pee bag on my leg and everything. And we're watching TV. My wife and I are catching up on all of our binge watching. It was very nice. Fond memories of that, I guess. And, but I remember I was on the couch one night. I'm just like, oh my God, the cat is on my lap. It's just driving me nuts. My leg is going to sleep. And I went to move the cat off my lap. And then I remembered, oh, my cats are dead. That's my swollen testicles. They were so huge, Christine. It was horrible. They were like softballs. I looked at them and I screamed. And my wife said, let me see them. And I said, no, you'll scream. So about a week and a half later, the swelling had gone. And they were purple and bruised. It was horrible. They were my friends. I didn't want to see my friends like that. And a week and a half later, the swelling went down. And I showed my wife. And she screamed.
She did.
Yeah, she screamed. She was like, oh my God. It's like, you should have seen him last week. It would have been in the hospital for you screaming.
So no chemo, no radiation?
No chemo, no radiation. I was very, very fortunate.
Stage one.
That was stage one. And like I said, nothing had made it out. My count was low, but watching my father-in-law die and knowing that this kills people and that there's guys out there that have it that are too far gone to fix it, don't even know they have it.
Yeah.
I can't fathom that. I mean, I'm 53, and if I would have had full-on cancer at 50 instead of just, you know,
the thing is, like,
instead of a story.
Yeah, the thing is, cancer doesn't hurt. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. Until
I wouldn't have known that I had
gets
it.
Gets too far, exactly.
Yeah, it's it
so
does.
So how did you go get tested? You were just getting a regular
checkup. I went to get tested.
And your blood PSA levels were up.
My levels were up. The doctor said, go to this guy. They tested. They said, yep, you've got it. Let's get it out.
Were you at a physical? Is that when you got, or were you going for this?
I get regular physicals because I have, I worry about my heart.
Well, everybody should get regular, I mean, once a year,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes.
So you were at a regular physical.
Yeah. And I was, like I said, I was, you know, I worry about my heart and I didn't want, and I have panic attacks, anxiety attacks, and I pass out. I have low blood pressure and things going on like that. So,
is there heart disease in your family?
Yes, my dad died of a heart thing.
My dad too.
Yeah, just his valve went out at age 76.
That's young.
Yeah,
that's pretty young.
It is young.
So let me ask you, your wife was how pregnant when you went into surgery?
She was, I don't know, maybe a couple of months. We had our fingers crossed. It was very white knuckly.
This is heavy stuff for her to take in, right? Because she's got this new, you know, this new baby.
She's pregnant.
Coming.
Her father had just died.
Right.
She's
and
super
then
close
you're
to her father.
Ill. That's scary, man.
Yeah, she was very, very strong for me, and it was. There was more crying from me. I think I remember there was one night during the week when I still had the bag.
Yeah.
And I was very upbeat and going, hey, I don't have cancer anymore, at least.
Yeah.
I was, because I'm very happy about that.
Of course.
All this other stuff, I would rather be alive than not.
Absolutely.
She said, hey, look, Tommy and Allison made this for you. And they had made this envelope full of stuff and it had like stickers on
Sweet.
It
yeah,
and
stuff
things
to do.
Like that. And I just looked at it and I just started crying so hard. And my wife went, oh my God, and came over and started hugging me. And that affected her because she said her father never would show any emotion. But when he did, he would just start crying.
Yeah.
And so it was bad. But
and so I wouldn't have thought you can get pregnant. In my head, I'm thinking about, okay, so first of all, I know about that region. You know, I know about your bathing suit parts. But from a woman's standpoint, like, I don't know, like, I'm thinking prostate cancer, and then I'm thinking about when men get a vasectomy, because I hear that, like, it's the same sort of recovery, it seemed like. I mean, now without
it
the
is.
Bags,
but it
in
is,
terms
it
of
is.
Your balls and stuff.
Well, I have a permanent vasectomy. They took all those tubes went away.
Interesting.
So, I mean, I'm still fertile, but there's no way for it to get out. I banked a lot of sperm, which was...
Did you?
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you going to use that sperm?
Yeah, it's down at Chase right now. I'm paying no checking on it. It's insane. No checking on
but,
my
I mean,
semen
how,
at Chase.
Did you and your wife say, okay, I might have cancer, so we should get pregnant now? I mean, was that the plan?
Well, we were hitting the window age-wise, too.
Right.
We wanted to get a kid going, and we had been trying for a while, and it was not the easiest. So it was... there was a lot going on there, a lot of
pressure. But it's just interesting that while your body was, had a disease, you know, you had infection, you had something was going on, cancer, you were able to get her pregnant. It seems like, wow, that seems counterintuitive.
I was like, oh, I'm not hoping I'm giving her cancer.
Well,
and I'm worried about my son having cancer. I don't want my son
I think about my daughter, too. I saved her cord blood, which I have to pay for every year, you know, banking her cord blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm thinking, you know, I might need her stem cells because what if she gets the kidney thing I had? And then, you know, maybe we can grow her a kidney in the future. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you do the stem cell thing? Or
not
the stem cell, the cord blood thing.
I don't think we did the cord blood thing.
Anyway, it's a whole thing, but I know what you're saying. And you know, once you have an illness and you face mortality, then it makes it all the more clear that, of course, everybody is going to die.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the lights up on a party.
No kidding. Last call for alcohol.
It's like, oh, I gotta wrap this up.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that you. And you've had cancer, and you know this, and it's hard to get around, is if you've had cancer at all, everything you get is cancer now.
Yeah, because and in a way, it's truthful, because it can come back. You know, some people will never get cancer. They could smoke all their life. They're not getting cancer.
Sure.
Some people, it's just they're not going to get cancer. But once you do have it, there is a concern that has made it apparent that those cells can turn again in your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Kind of sucks, man.
Yeah, it gets a little tiresome having here I am dealing with mortality like I'm fixing a flat tire again because I have a weird hot pain in my back.
So what do? We
have panic attacks.
A little bit of anxiety and pop some pills. No, but we live life to its fullest. And
of
you
course.
Have a child, your 5-year-old Oliver.
I do.
And so you just look at him and my gosh, how great that you're alive, how great that he's alive.
I am happy that I am alive. I think that the cancer weakened me by 15 or 20%. I think it took me down a noticeable amount. My mm-hmm. energy, it drained me more because I'm an old man. I'm not the young cat jumping on the couch that I used to be. It takes me a couple of tries, as much as I think I'm that young cat.
Are we talking about your erection right now?
Oh no, no, my erections are fine. My erections are fine, everybody. I want that to get out. Oh, you know what happened? When I was on, hey, let me talk about this.
Go ahead.
First of all, they gave me Cialis. They prescribe you Cialis because you have to keep it. It's use it or lose it with your penis after the erections.
Interesting.
Some guys don't get it back. I was very lucky. I was very, very lucky. But they gave me Cialis. And the Cialis started fucking with my vision. Like, very bad. Like, I would get a black...
Beer goggles?
No, like black line across my vision, like my retina was detaching, and I would have to stop. Here's another thing.
Wait, stop what?
Stop! I just stopped taking Cialis.
I'm like,
you know what? I'd rather have not have erections than be blind.
Of course, but I never heard that as a side effect.
A side effect. Vision issues.
Wow,
yeah.
That's crazy.
And I don't want to go you in trouble with Cialis, but personally, that's how it affected me, and I stopped.
No, I believe you. I'm just thinking about you, like walking around blind with your boner hitting the wall. You
know, yeah, who needs a white cane, ladies and gentlemen?
You're going. You're fucking a pillow. Your wife's right there. What are you doing? Blaying them over here.
Hey, whatever works. This was a different thing was, and this goes back to the, because I knew I had cancer and I had the kidney stone and I
oh
had
God,
to get,
that must have been painful.
And I had the kidney stone was just like a hot, my back was hot constantly and I was having pee issues and I had never had surgery before, and I was freaking out about it. It was really bothering me. And I was getting more panic attacks. I wasn't able to sleep because my brain is just like a finch in a cage. It's just battering around, and I just can't sleep, and I just wanted to sleep. So I went to the doctor, and I said, hey, I need something. I just some kind of anti-anxiety thing, and I'm not a pill guy. I was never a pill guy. And he goes, okay, we'll give you this. It's like, it was a Lexapram, Lorazepam, I think the Z version of it. And I was like, oh, this is great.
Lorazepam.
That's the one.
Yeah. It's like almost like an Ambien, isn't it? Like, or Valium, more like a Valium.
Well, it calmed me down, and I was like,
yeah, Lorazepam, like I think, is Valium, I think.
Is it?
I think.
Because a few days in, I was like, wow, this is really nice. I felt very even keeled.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, this is kind of a nice feeling. I can get my shit together, and the highs aren't too high, the lows aren't low. I'm organized and I'm motivated. This is cool. I like this. And then at the time I was working on a show called Off Their Rockers with Betty White. It was a hidden camera prank show.
Sure.
And I was driving 2 hours and each way to Santa Monica and back to work out on Fifth and Santa Monica in a room full of writers pitching hidden camera things for these people. And I was I would drive home on Mulholland because it was the fastest way.
Yeah, to go over the hill instead.
Yeah, and I would be driving along, thinking to myself, "Oh man, this is very nice. What a beautiful day! I'm working. If I just sort of like undo my seatbelt and sort of snap the wheel to the right, I can just go right down this embankment. Maybe I hope. Well, I don't want to hit a house.
Why did you think that?
I didn't know. I was just starting to very casually think about killing myself. And I had never had problems with that before, but it was just very, like a friend of yours going, you know what you should do? You should just, oncoming traffic. Oh, you know what else you could do? There's that place that you like to go, that cove out on the couch, or out on the beach. Just drive right off it. Just down onto the rocks. There's never anybody.
I can't believe that.
I was like,
that.
What the fuck?
So that's like full on when they say suicidal thoughts.
When they say suicidal thoughts.
That's what they mean. I've never had that.
Yeah.
That's
and
really scary as shit.
That was about maybe 2 weeks in, and I just remember never taking one again. I called my doctor, and I said, hey, these pills are telling me to kill myself.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So anyway, so watch out. Get tested for prostate cancer, and don't kill yourself if the pill tells you to kill yourself.
I think in general, don't take any pills.
Yeah, don't take any pills.
You really got to take something. Otherwise, it's not the... I'd just rather not have that in my system.
And the Vicodin chewed my stomach up so bad.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
All that stuff is so acidic to your body. Yeah, the only time Vicodin has worked for me is when I've needed it full on after a surgery.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like I never got high off of it. It just would take away... You know, because I had my stomach cut open or something.
I had my wife and I had a Vicodin when we were in Paris. We split a Vicodin and drank a bottle of wine
along the Seine.
Walked down the Seine in beetle boots.
That's very beautiful, actually.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Paris is my favorite city.
I loved it.
By far.
I proposed to my wife.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I went on 2 honeymoons there. 2 marriages, 2 honeymoons.
Can't go wrong.
Hey, listen, it's not Paris. It's I think it was the guy. But anyway, listen, this is a great story. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Really,
I'm sorry to bum you out with cancer and stuff.
No, not at all. Because like I said,
I've had it. You know what it is.
Well. No, yeah. It's so common now. It's so commonplace. I don't think there should be a taboo on telling your story about it. You know, a lot of people have the story. And it is... It's better to be on this side of things.
Yeah, I think the hard part about telling the story is I don't want people to listen to me talking knowing that they are just thinking about something or someone painful in their life. That's a problem that you have in comedy is anything you say could make somebody think of something bad. And it's, you know, hopefully the humor is what tempers that and people are sophisticated enough to know that the comedian isn't talking about their problems directly. But I hate it. I hate making people think about things they don't want to think about.
That's sometimes. So interesting because you're a seasoned comedian and I would think that you wouldn't even have that in your mind as to what they're thinking because it's from your voice. And so your concern isn't really what they're thinking. It's that you have to, in your own artful way, get your voice out there. But their feedback, I didn't realize would have mattered as much.
Well, I mean, I think I try to be true to myself on stage, but part of myself is not wanting to hurt people's feelings.
That's so very sensitive and beautiful, really.
Yeah, it makes me weak.
You're unlike any comic I've ever met, and I've met several hundred. Anyway, thanks, Blaine. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Christine.
This is awesome. All right,
thank you for having me.
I got to wrap it up. I want to thank Blanket Patch again for coming on Storyworthy and telling this amazing story. Follow him over on Twitter at Blanket Patch. And then, of course, follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I would be remiss not to tell you to head over to at Screw Stories and follow me over there, because that's my new podcast, Screwed Up Stories.
Oh.
On the Westwood One podcast.
Oh, cool.
With Rachel O'Brien.
Oh.
And we're doing really well. It's an all-female based podcast, and people, women, are telling their screwed up stories. And the idea is there's different generations of women, and we're all, so we're not really going over new ground, but what we're trying to do is, like, I'm in my 50s, Rachel's in her 30s, and we have people all along every spectrum, every age of women. And what ends up happening is we all have a very common story. We really do. And everybody screws up. And it's great. We're doing very well. We just launched last month. So you guys, keep it up.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Follow Screwed Up Stories and rate, review, subscribe, all that stuff on Apple Podcasts, because for some reason, that's important. All right, you guys, a big thank you to all the sponsors on the show today. Really, when you support my sponsors, you're supporting me and my child, and I thank you. And one more time, on behalf of the very talented Blanket Patch, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, can I mention some of my sponsors? Yeah. I'm brought to you by Dog Fudge, non-poisonous fudge for dogs. Not tested on animals. Also brought to you by Swiffer. When you don't really feel like cleaning anything, don't really clean anything with Swiffer. Prim Nevada, a great place to throw up on the way home from Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in the urinal in Prim. In exchange for this announcement, Christine.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a Storyworthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.